How else do you enter a past life if not just by going, I'm going to just pass through the store right on into my past life. Yep. I'm going to look around, take some notes, will myself to any year I want.
And hey, deep meditation is not a thing that I have any experience with, and I don't know
I'm
lot
none
about
whatsoever.
It. And I'm hyper skeptical of it, so that could be unfair. And I believe in a lot of bullshit that other people think is trash, so maybe.
Facts. That's the realest shit I've ever heard.
They like live as a horse sometimes. I'll show you that
you
later.
You showed me the pictures of the people.
You should get torches free when you buy like a long black or white robe.
There's an episode of Law and Order SVU about this, I'm just saying.
Can we not make this about chastity right now?
You're like, listen, this isn't that serious.
It's fine if you want to kill the torso. Kill the torso, it'd be super easy.
I'm like always close enough to something that could cleanse the air. And the woman was talking about the Hershey's Kiss in an incredibly sexual manner.
And I believe in a lot of bullshit that other people think is trash, so maybe.
Facts.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This, the podcast where we dissect some pieces of our culture, sometimes human behavior, and generally try and figure out why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome.
So, tonight I kind of want to tell you like a little bit of a story because I want to talk a little bit about dreams and just dreaming in general and the things that make you dream certain ways or how you feel about your dreams and kind of, I don't know, everything in between on like a really, I guess, general level. But I want to start with, like, I guess a little bit of an anecdote. So I'm on a fiscal calendar this year. January was like a shitstorm. Everything from like a really public trip up an elevator that made me think I tore my meniscus. I'm still actually healing from that months later. There's like actually still like a bruise on my leg. Not a joke. I had like some health scares with some loved people. Some, I don't know, just general weirdness. Everything went wrong, but the catalyst or what felt like the first big thing of all of it when everything just seemed like a shitstorm was I came back to Chicago after spending holidays, Christmas and whatnot with my parents in Cincinnati. And when I left, as you do, turn my thermostat down.
Yeah.
Cooler than it usually is in here, but nothing crazy. But like as you do when you've been in the car for 5 hours, I'm like running in. I'm doing the like run down the hallway, I have to pee so bad move.
Yeah.
And so I bring in my cat. I run to the bathroom.
It was probably a really cute walk.
I'm sure it was really adorable.
Bent forward, knees together.
We all know that look where your like pants could like low-key be halfway down your legs like before you're anywhere close to the bathroom. Yeah, for sure. And why we don't just pull over and pee at some point in a road trip, I don't know why it seems like such a hassle.
I just won't stop and then I miss it, especially when I'm on my way to Chicago. I get into the loop and then it's too late. And then
it's
I'm
all
like,
over.
Well, fuck, it's over. I can't. I have to like pee into a beach towel again.
I've actually successfully peed into water bottles more than one time in my car.
That's pretty impressive.
Listen, for not having a dick, thank you. I thought it was too.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
It's empowering.
I just know my anatomy and have good aim.
That's what I was going to say. Quick aside, just while we're on the urine train.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing, but I wanted to ask you about this because it's something that happens to me periodically, and I'm not 100 on like why.
Okay.
But do you ever have a hard time peeing in, like, and getting it to all go in the toilet?
Like, are you saying you're peeing on the seat?
I mean, that happens sometimes because of, like, horrible urgency. But,
yeah.
But, like, if I'm, like, seated, sometimes my piss, like, at high pressure will come out from in between the seat and the bowl. And, like, run down onto
the
floor.
Girl, how hard are you peeing? Wait, what?
That never happens to you?
No, it's never happened to me. Oh, I don't want to make you feel weird, but
I used to think that my toilet was leaking, like, a few apartments ago. This has been a long-time affliction. I was like, oh, my God, this fucking toilet
A few apartments ago? This has been going on for years. Shit. I don't understand how you're, I mean, you are one of the most hydrated hoes that I know, but I still don't understand how you could pee that hard. Girlfriend, I don't know if I have help for you, and I don't know if we can derail this anecdote any longer on some piss talk. We'll seek help, though. We're going to WebMD this later. Or at least use Mayo Clinic. I think it's more reputable.
It is more reputable.
Yeah, for sure.
But you gotta pee. You're rolling.
Okay, I gotta pee. I'm running into my apartment. Rewind. And I'm having a pee. And then I'm like, I know that I turned the heat down, but like it feels a little chilly in here. And I'm like, am I just being weird? I come into the bathroom and I walk into the dining room where the thermostat for my apartment is. And it's 35 degrees inside. My kitchen pipes were frozen. Nothing burst, praise God. Mm-hmm. Nothing of those pipes. Right. But I had like 7 radiators when I once had radiator heat, which clearly I no longer do. And 4 of them froze. Like RIP radiator heat. I actually really do miss it. Anyway. So 4 of my radiators froze and split.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hence begins like my 2-week period without like legitimate heat, where I was living in my bedroom alone, like with a space heater that friends had graciously like lent me, which made me a little stir crazy, and I got cabin fever. And so I'm living in this like super just weird, not normal environment, right? That's me and my cat in one not super large room in my home and just only being in there.
Mm-hmm.
And weird environment as it can do. I had the weirdest dreams, like the dreams for this whole period. Like, but there's one that was like a real standout dream.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in my dream, I was going to like this funhouse version of a place I used to work, just like the dream version where it's like a little Picasso'd together and doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
And I'm, so in my dream, I'm going there because I want my old job back, which would never happen. but in my dream, that's what's going on. But I see one of my guys, Tony, who's like one of my favorite people, honestly, in the world. And he and I work there together, and he's one of my bros. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And in my dream, he and I are having this really normal conversation. And he's like, I have to run this errand, like, come with me. So he and I are walking down like a really busy street, and it's like way too busy of a street to be walking on, like not on a sidewalk, we're like in grass. You know what I'm talking about? Like those streets that you're like, when you see people walking like alongside the road in the grass, you're like, why the F would anybody be like,
it seems like only a hitchhiker would walk there.
100%.
Or us going to get ice cream in middle school.
Those are the two choices. Yes. Middle schoolers going to get soft serve or
because they can't fucking drive.
Or a hitchhiker. Yeah. Or just like a killer. I don't know. So Tony and I are like walking this like grass tread. And
oh my God. We just said that the only people walking right there were killers and middle school students.
That seems like how like a lot of children must have gotten killed.
Okay.
Just all right.
Rethinking my youth, but go on.
Listen, let's just file that away for things will discourage any youngsters to do again.
So you're having a normal conversation with your friend in a fun house, previous work environment.
Right. Now we're walking down this grass. And at some point he says to me, hey, like, I need you to call a couple people for me. And I was kind of like, like, okay. Like, it seemed kind of weird, but I was like, all right. Like, who do I need to talk to for you? And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a gun.
Oh my God.
In my dream, I'm like, what the F? And not because I'm like scared for my safety or anything like that. It didn't feel like that. No, it's
just fucking alarming.
It was alarming. And then I kind of reverted to like my childhood, how do I want to say, like how I would have reacted as a kid if somebody had something that they shouldn't. I was like, you know, like, you have to put that away. Like, we're on the side of this busy road. People will see you.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to get in trouble. Kind of like
a don't get in trouble. Yeah, 100%. So then he kind of like holds it out to me, and I see that the handle of the gun, and it's like, you know, I don't know, just like it's a handgun. It's a handgun. So the hand, it's a musket. What if? but it, on the handle of the gun, it has like names and phone numbers. And it's like, so he pulled this out. Right. So he pulled this out to be like, you need to call these people. And I'm very much being like, well, put it away. Okay, I get it. Da, 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 da.
And then he says... Just left myself a note here.
Right. I'm like, what? And then he says to me, he says, well, hey, like, turn around real quick.
No.
And I'm like, okay. And so I turn around, retelling this dream. It sounds like I'm about to get, like, killed.
Yes. Like execution style.
Exactly. And that's not what happens. He's like, turn around real quick. And then the moment I do have that moment where so much stuff in this dream has been, like, so weird for me up until this point. But it's, like, the only time that I've realized I've been, like, something's wrong about this. Like, yeah. I shouldn't turn around. And what's going on? And so I think I say out loud, like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah,
and
you better be taking a piss.
Right. And I, speaking of urine, it all comes full circle.
And you're outside in the grass where the youths
just
and the
next to a
are.
Really, like a really busy road where middle schoolers are getting ice cream and people are hunting prey. No, but so I yell out and I'm like, wait just a second. And I turn around to face him just in time for him to like shoot himself in the head.
Oh my God.
I legit. Like, I screamed myself awake. Like, I yelped.
Were you asleep long enough to see, like, what it looked like when he shot himself?
No. Like, okay, there wasn't any blood. There wasn't any, like, I just, yeah. like, it was, like, the bang, and I yelled, and my Ooh. Yell woke me up.
Yeah.
It, like, honestly, like, really scared the bejesus out of me, and... Then I felt, like, super weird about it the next day. Just kind of, like, why did I even have a dream like this? Like, what would have caused this? And I was, like, well, I know that I'm, like, a little, like, tightly wound and high stress for how I usually am. I felt,
there's
like...
There's a few things going on.
There's a few things going on. I'm, like, living in my room. But, I mean, the next day, the first thing I did in the morning, I needed to text Tony because, like, I just needed, like... hear from him. And I was like, hi, like, I he love fine, you. Right? How are you? He's totally fine.
Okay, good.
I was like, hi. Like, it was funny. And he was just like, what's up, girl? Like, chill. But I didn't tell him that I was like, I had this really distressing dream about you. Like, I wasn't like, just doesn't seem like something you text.
No.
I hadn't talked to him in a while.
Like, you could maybe say, I had a dream that you died. Just wanted to check on you, but you can't say, like, I had a dream that you committed suicide in front of me.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit even more graphic. But wait, hold on. Press pause on that. What would you do if somebody told you that they had a dream you died?
People have.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Haven't you ever gotten a text like that?
No.
Oh. Or, like, if you have a dream that you have a fight with somebody?
Okay, I've dreamt about having fights with people and then having to check in. Like, I remember I was going through some health stuff and it was making my dreams bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of dreams that I was having really aggressive fights or conversations with people that were really ugly, that like my boyfriend at the time, my mom. Yeah. And I legit had to check in and be like, you know... Is everything okay? Like, or am I, we're okay? Like, we're right. good. Like, that kind of check-in thing. I've never had anybody tell me, though, that they dreamt I died. I guess I've dreamt people have died, so it shouldn't be alarming, per se.
I wish, this is very selfish, but I wish that I could see, like a movie reel of all of the...
All
times
the dreams
I've
you've
appeared
been
in someone else's dreams. Yeah.
Dude, that's the realest thing I've ever heard.
Right? It'd be so fun.
I would like to... It's not really like an extension of you, but you almost wonder, like, how am I?
Well, you're like
dreams?
Alive in someone else's mind.
Yeah.
Whether they're awake or asleep, you're alive in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually we'll be to the point where we can like hook people up to a machine while they sleep. Like, put sensors, like, on parts of their brain and be able to project, like, what they're seeing.
That's some Harry Potter shit.
It is not. It doesn't even feel that far away.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's... So our brain sends, like, electrical impulses and, like, projects images for us to... Like, that's what we're seeing in our dream.
Yeah.
And so if we could decode those electrical impulses, we would be able to see what the dreams looked like.
Hmm. Maybe. But I hear what you're saying, but I do feel like the part of that that I would be skeptical about is on some level you can, like, know what parts of people's brains are firing or what, like, rapid eye movement they're having. And you can map, like, what mm-hmm. part of their brain that touches. But how do you know exactly, like, what the imagery stored in that somebody's, like, brain like that is? Like, maybe you could be like, this person's having a dream about sex, this person's having a dream that's scaring them, but like this is the scene in their dream. I don't know, man.
Yeah, so I'm saying we'd have to come up with something that like does the same kind of decoding of that information that our occipital lobe does while we're sleeping.
Okay.
And I did find an article about it just now. It says Japanese scientists show thoughts.
I don't know if I trust this out of Japan. I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
Anything that starts with Japanese scientists, but continue.
ATR Computational Neuroscience Laboratories have designed their system to sample electrical signals from retina to brain's visual cortex. When you see an item, this is the pathway used to transmit the data to your brain. That's what it's saying. The team's work thus far has involved simple trained imagery, 400 still images, sampling the brain's activity, and reconstructing what the subject's eyes are seeing. Okay, so they're building like a dream world data. They're like giving the computer a vocabulary so that maybe later it can like decode the dreams.
Interesting.
Is what it seems like, according to the article on thefastcompany.com. Okay.
All right.
Well, that'd be dope. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hijack that from...
No, it's curious because it does make me think, like, sometimes I wish I were, like, better at keeping, like, a dream journal or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that either.
I should write down what I dream from time to time. And I was better at journaling, etc. as a kid.
Me too. I journaled all the fucking time.
Yeah, and I feel like there's some things, like, the older I've gotten, like, when things have been, like, if there have been times in my life that have been hard, I mm-hmm. don't want to write about it. Sometimes I regret that. But it'll take me out of the habit of being like, oh, let me take notes on this, because I'm like, I don't want to go back to this or read it. And then I think also something with like growing up, there are things that I feel like, I don't know that embarrassed is totally the right word, but like a little...
Like some light shame?
Yeah, maybe like a little shameful about being able to read that back. I don't know, like pivoting back to dreams a little bit and got me on this dream journal and then all sorts of wishful thinking with that. I guess I thought a lot about, with this particular scary dream with Tony, things that make you dream in weird ways. Because I had a bunch of weird dreams that week. I guess I was kind of thinking about all the things that were going on for me, and I just wanted to get your way in if these are things that you feel like you also find like affect your sleep in ways or don't at all. Probably the biggest thing for me, you know, I was sleeping in my room in my own bed, which is normal. Now I've been spending like my waking hours in there for me, which is not normal. I don't hang out in my room or in my bed unless I am doing a bed activity.
Oh, and that's like,
that's
the
what
right
they say.
I
just have never been. I've just never been a hang out in your bedroom, kid. I say kid. The reason I say kid, I've never been a hang out in your bedroom person. The reason I say the kid thing is my beautifully conservative in boys and girls and all the things parents. I was very young at the age in which my parents were like, boys can't be in your room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was probably like 11.
I remember, like, when John couldn't be, our friend John, couldn't be in your room anymore.
Yeah, it was just, like, my parents, like, had a, they were like, you can't. And so then I never hung out with, I feel like a lot of kids, like, grow up hanging out with their friends in their room. But it's, like, even you and I, when we were growing up together, like, we never hung out in my room. So I don't know. So I think it made me a non-room dweller. That always, like, too much time in there probably made me a little stir crazy. Then the temperature thing for me is real. Like, I think if I'm uncomfortable in temperature, like, things are too hot, things are too cold.
Uncomfortable, definitely affects... unsettled, and probably, like, a little worried about, like, how fast this is or is not going to get fixed.
Right. So there's, like, the added just, like, stress. But then the other big thing, at least for me, and I am curious in your thoughts on this, because I was doing the space heater thing, I was sleeping with my bedroom door closed, which I always sleep with my bedroom door open.
I hate sleeping with my door open.
I feel like everyone has strong feelings of how they like their bedroom door.
It's like toilet paper.
Yeah, it is. Like, under or over. It's 100%. Like, it pisses people off, and people have the way they like doing it.
I honestly have no preference on toilet paper.
I know, because you always put it up a different way, and it fucking drives me insane.
I don't, like, I have no idea how I put it last time, you know? Like, I'm not paying attention to that. Like, there's better things to pay attention to.
That must be very freeing.
It is. It's very freeing. I hang out in my bedroom and don't give a thought about it. And then I'll fall asleep on the couch until 4 a.m. and be like, oh God, I should get up and go to my bed. But then once I'm in there, door like firmly shut. And I think my idea is like from my bed, I can see the door, it's closed. And I think that like if someone opened it, it would wake me up.
Mm.
Like it's a, like an extra, it's like a, alarm. An alarm.
Yeah. Yeah. See, for me, I think what it is it's kind of like the fear of the unknown. If my bedroom door is closed, I feel like anything or anyone could be out there. But if my bedroom door is open, I'm like open to that space and I know there's nothing going on out there.
Mm. Yeah, my brain wouldn't buy that, but
sure. I'm just like, oh, it's chill because like I know, like I would hear something. I feel like I'm like, if my bedroom door were closed and somebody came in the front or the back door, like, I wouldn't hear them.
Yeah.
Or if somebody was walking around, I don't know. Ooh, like, I can't dive deep into that too much.
No, you can't. You'll turn into me. I do, like, so many checks of this fucking apartment when I get back.
You sometimes, when you tell me your safety precautions about things, it scares the fucking shit out of me and I get nervous.
I'm prepared, man.
You once asked me if when I got home, I ever checked to make sure there wasn't someone in the oven.
Which I always check the oven and the refrigerator.
Which is low-key gave me fucking nightmares. Somebody was going to come outside my oven. Oh, my God.
Or, like, my suitcases that are large enough for, like, a small person to fit in.
No, you do not check those.
I don't open them, but I, like, lift them a little to, like, be sure that no one's in there.
James, that's fucking scary.
It would be scary if there was someone in there. And then I go to bed with mostly peace of mind.
Oh, my God. All right.
But, yeah, those things would affect my dreams as well, though.
Totally.
Although I'm not, like, I'm so much less of, like, a ritualist than you. Like, all of my, like, nighttime habits are just, like, by accident. Like, they are.
No, that's fair. I was going to ask what you mean by, like, ritualist, and then you said nighttime habits, and I was like, oh, I do have a routine.
I don't have, like, a bedtime, like, in my head even. Like, just at some point in the evening, like, probably I'll fall asleep wherever I am and then, like, move to my bedroom. And, like, in the process of that move, like, I may or may not wash my face.
That's honest.
Yeah, and that's...
That's honest. Oh. You know me, I've been in the bathroom for 45 minutes, washing my face, applying 7 different serums.
You saying all of that about, like, the environmental factors affecting your dreams makes me think of one specific incident, and I'm sure you remember this, but you spent the night at my apartment when I lived in Clifton on Cornell.
Yeah. This was the apartment you lived in sophomore year of college.
Yes. Yes, that apartment. And in that apartment, one bedroom was really small and one bedroom was really big. And so my roommate and I decided that we were just going to swap rooms halfway through the year. By the time it was like my turn to be in the big room, my roommate was just like, I'm so glad that we're switching. And I was just like, well, that's weird because like, you theoretically have the better room. It has like a giant closet and a balcony. Like it's far superior.
Oh, I forgot the balcony was off that room.
The balcony was off that huge balcony.
That was a dope apartment.
That was a dope apartment.
Except for the reasons you were about to describe.
Except for some things about it. So the very first night that I spent in that room, you spent the night and you came over and we were like smoking hookah in the kitchen and heating the apartment with the oven like we used to do.
We did used to heat the apartment with the oven at that place.
Because I didn't have control over the heat.
The thermostat, in the but you weren't paying for gas. Exactly. So
I was like, if y'all are not going to heat this apartment, I will force you to pay to heat it with the oven. I will. It's not safe. Yeah. So that first night, you and I, kind of drunkenly, but we weren't like crazy fucked up.
No.
But we slept in my new bedroom. And that was the first night that I slept there and you were there too. And in the morning, I remember waking up and just having that feeling like I hadn't really slept at all, where you're just like, oh, I tossed and turned and was like awake in like a weird twilight phase all night. But I just remember like waking up and you saying that you had really weird dreams and didn't sleep very well. And I asked you what they were. And you said that you were...
Oh, God. Dude, I hadn't thought about this in years.
Do you remember at all?
I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Okay. You told me that you had really weird, like, stress dreams all night, but that all the dreams took place in the room that we were in.
Yep.
And that's what had happened to me, too. And then we discovered in that conversation that we both had been dreaming that there was like this lady just like standing at the threshold of my closet and my room all night looking at us.
This is actually like, I have like full body Christian music chills really? Right now. I like almost feel like I blocked this out.
It was a really weird night.
I really forgot about this. Ooh, heebie-jeebies. That gave me chills.
Yeah. So that, I don't even know if that counts as a dream necessarily.
I wouldn't even call that an environmental factor. Like, let's cut to the chase and say that that apartment was haunted and no one we know disputes it. Everybody has stories from the building. Whenever I'm like, you know, their old apartment, and people will be like, oh, the haunted one? I'm like, that's the one.
Yep, that's the one.
A great apartment, though.
It is a great apartment. It is listed on hauntedohio.com, though, as a place to visit and, like, ghost hunt. And I'm like, but this is my home.
Shit. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, so that's not really environmental factors. That's a haunting.
Yeah, I was going to say, so aside from unfriendly spirits, anything else that makes you have weird dreams?
But the quality of that dream, like that it took place inside the room that we were in, I feel like I have dreams like that a lot. If I'm like on vacation or maybe like staying with family during like Christmas or something, where I'm out of my element, like maybe I'm traveling and I have jet lag or something. Yeah. I feel like I end up having a lot of that twilight sleep where I don't know if I ever slept at all or if I laid there awake or if I dreamed that I laid there awake all night, which is super annoying. I think that that is what's happening sometimes.
Well, you know that...
that I'm like lightly tossing and turning, like maybe only hitting REM like once, but like... I am sleeping.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, for sure, and I think most people relate to this, that you sleep, like, heavier at home or, like, in a familiar situation. I mean, even if I'm at my parents' house or my sister's place.
Probably just comes down to, like, biological factors about, like, relaxation and safety.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're less relaxed when you're somewhere you're not as accustomed to. When I sleep really hard somewhere that's like not a normal place for me, kind of weirds me out.
It like blows my mind when that happens.
I'm like,
to
what
me.
Happened? Yeah. Why did I like, how did I sleep like that? But you, I feel like, know a little bit more about this than I do. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like alluded to it when you're like, just like REM sleep and not deep sleep. But can you give me like, I don't know, the couple minute breakdown of like types or stages of sleep?
Yeah. So there are 5 stages of sleep. The one that gets talked about the most is REM sleep.
Which is rapid eye movement.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So REM sleep is where we have the bulk of our dreams. It's called rapid eye movement, obviously, because your eyes are moving rapidly behind their closed lids.
Yeah.
What happens is, like, you start to get sleepy, you're having a nice evening, you lay down, you go to bed.
I love this progression. It got kind of romantic.
Yeah, here we go. Walk into the bedroom. Don't think about anything. It could get creepy really quick. Take these tablets.
Take these tablets, man.
So the first stage one, is a super light, easily disruptible sleep. And that's just where you start to feel like you're relaxing, your brain's slowing down. You might start to have those thoughts that like don't totally make sense. Like if someone like made you wake up the rest of the way, you might be like, oh wow, I was thinking about like an outfit made completely of of zebra gum. You know what I mean? Just like, what was I thinking about?
It's like when it's kind of makes me think of like sleepover talk when like somebody's like starting yes. to fall asleep and says something to you that's like complete nonsense.
Yes. And sometimes you can feed that at a sleepover. I remember being little and trying.
I love feeding the girl who's like about to be like unconscious, like just like seeing what else you can get.
Right. Keep asking that's her like questions. That's
a great pastime of youth.
It is.
Like, just keep her talking.
Just keep her talking as long as you can. The adult version of that, I think, involves Quaaludes.
I think you're not
another
wrong.
Topic for another time.
Another time.
So stage one is that that kind of nonsensical, sleepy slip and slide.
Sleepover chatter.
And then you get to stage two and your brainwaves slow down. The alpha waves that you would have as like your regular brainwaves when you're awake, they yeah. stop completely by stage two. Mm-hmm. And then if you were to be like hooked up to an EKG machine at this point, your brainwaves would show up as what's called sleep spindles. And it's these little bursts of activity. And it's just for like the last few seconds. They last for a few seconds and then like die down again. That's like the bulk of the time you're asleep during the night is spent in stage mm-hmm. two.
Okay.
And then stage three and four are like talked about together a lot because they're not very different from each other. But this is okay. a deep sleep or slow wave sleep. It's called slow wave sleep because your brain releases delta waves. And delta waves are the slowest brainwave pattern that you produce. Your brain puts out delta waves when you're a fetus, just like fucking chilled out in the womb. Like, you know, like no stimulus.
Just in a little sack.
Delta waves, yeah, are your primary brainwave when you're a fetus. And then they're your primary brainwave in deep sleep. And then also when you are dying, your brain releases them again.
Oh, fuck.
And that feels interesting to me because of like flatliners kind of stuff. Like the idea of like sleep being like so close to death, like threshold being really thin right there.
Oh, well, that's kind of dark.
It is kind of dark, but it also makes me wonder if there are ways like in our sleep to like access. I don't want to get supernatural, but you know, it's like maybe there's some sci-fi possibilities.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe. Well, I guess the flip side of that too is like I feel like this gets dramatized sometimes on hospital-y shows or anything that somebody has a near-death experience on
sure,
television.
Sure, any medical drama.
But when just any medical drama. Thank you for saying medical drama when I said hospital-y show.
It's fine.
Okay, perfect.
Just housekeeping.
just housekeeping.
But what about these medical dramas?
Where people have a near-death experience or almost die,
also known as an
NDE. Thank you. Just cleaning it up.
So these NDEs.
But when people will think that they had an out-of-body experience or they saw
yes,
something,
like that kid that says he met Jesus.
Yeah, people who think
and that
they
guy
met
that
Jesus.
Wrote a book and said that he went to hell and then he came to our church and he talked about it.
I heard about
that.
That
was really intense. And I don't know that I think he's lying. Like, even if... Okay, I'm not saying that, like, somehow he didn't experience that in his mind.
Right.
But I at least... I don't think he's lying. Like, I think that he believes that's what happened.
Yeah, that was his experience, and he thinks his experience... He would categorize it as I went
exactly,
to hell.
But I think there are like other reasons why that could be what he thinks happened.
I'm inclined to side with you.
Thank
on
you.
That.
Okay, yeah. But what were you asking me? We were talking about sleep stages, deep sleep.
You were just giving us a little bit of a breakdown of like sleep types, which I don't know. I guess I find helpful because
yeah. Well, let me get then to REM sleep because that'll pull us back to like. Why anxiety and environment would kind of like shuffle the deck of your dream
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
So the last stage of sleep, stage five, is REM sleep. And this is like the really productive part of your sleep?
So this is what I want to understand. It's stage five, mm-hmm. but it's not like the deepest, because four is the deepest, and for in stage five you like come up a little bit, but you like go in this progression. Am I understanding that right?
So REM sleep, okay. if we're talking about brain activity, you come back up. Your brain waves like may even look closer to how they would look when you're awake. But what happens in REM sleep is like at the end of stage three or four, before you launch into REM sleep, your body releases a paralysis chemical so that you can't act out the dreams that are playing out in your head. Your eyes are moving rapidly as though you're interacting with whatever world you're seeing. But because at the end of your deep sleep, you got hit with that chemical, you don't actually get up, walk around, and like go act out your dreams. So in that way, it's physically deep, but mentally there's way more activity.
Okay, so riddle me this then. Have you ever had like a struggle dream, or like you're fighting someone or something off of you and you physically thrash?
Yes.
That would that be REM sleep, or can you not do that because of the paralysis?
I would say like maybe toward the end of your REM sleep, like that paralysis is wearing off. You can definitely be woken up from REM sleep though.
Sure.
Because if you think about, like, I bet you were woken up from REM sleep in your dream about your friend Tony, like, when the gun went off and you jumped awake.
Yeah.
I think you got ripped out of REM sleep because of how clear your memory is of the dream that you were having.
Well, and I felt really fucked up afterwards, like, mentally.
Yes, and that's, I was watching this episode of Nova about dream science and and interrupting REM sleep
is irritable. Like it makes people feel
so
crazy,
irritable. And there are also alarm clocks and apps that you can download that will try to wake you up when you would naturally be coming out of REM sleep instead of.
I use an app like
And I've used it before if I'm just lazy and forget and I have no routine. So this episode of Nova, they did a sleep study on people where in the middle of the night, it was like 4 a.m. or something, they woke up a handful of subjects who were hooked up to monitors so they could tell what their brain activity was and like determine which
sleep stage.
Yeah. So they pinpointed the end of the REM sleep cycle and they woke up the subjects before they were ready naturally to be woken up. And in the footage, the subjects of the experiment are like incredibly groggy and like have like very little like motor skills. And the first thing that they have to do when they wake up is fill out this little worksheet. And the worksheet has on it.
I would be so pissed, like wake up to homework.
Fucking worksheet. It has a bunch of half words on it. So like it has like the first three or four letters of, you know, the first three letters could be tons of words. And the idea is that the test subject has to finish that word with whatever the first thing they think of is. So like if it said G-R-A, like maybe they would put P-E and like make the word grape.
Okay.
Or so like one that was on there, and this is a dumb example, it said S-T-U. and the guy that had been woken up out of REM sleep wrote stupid, like just because it's like,
as
yeah, it's
do.
A negative word.
He woke up at a REM. He's doing.
He
a
did. He's
worksheet.
His feathers are ruffled. He doesn't want to do the worksheet. And when they go down his list of all of his words, every single one is negative. Stupid.
Oh,
dead. Divorce. Like.
Sorry. Dead.
Auto accident. It just.
No, it wasn't.
Triple bypass surgery. It's the worst things you could think of. I like
that you started with dead and then pivoted to like automobile accidents and triple bypass. Just getting hairy. Okay.
But when they looked at the answers of the people who had been allowed to complete their REM cycle before they were woken up, they all chose really, really pleasant words. So instead of automobile accident and like rear-ended and anal fisting, like they wrote things like sugar and I don't know, jujubes. Just like they wrote nice things. Like being prompted with the same three letters, they wrote a nice thing instead of a mean thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's simply from waking up 15 to 30 minutes later than the other subjects.
That's real. Like, that doesn't surprise me. I will say, when I hear about this stuff, it gets a little like chicken v egg for me, because I think, yes, your dreams and the way you sleep can like really affect your mood after the fact and like the way you mm-hmm. wake up, but your mood and like your like level of anxiety or lack of, those have to affect your dreams. Do you know what I'm yes. saying? It feels like a little bit of a vicious cycle in some
oh
ways.
Yeah, well, but that's what your conscious and your subconscious are. If you think about it, it's this constant somersaulting, like a convection oven, where your subconscious is spitting stuff out and trying to work through things while you're asleep so that you can be like a better, more productive, healthier, conscious person during the day as you like absorb yeah. new information and like receive new data and like try to come to new conclusions. And then you go to sleep again and your brain like mashes all of it up and makes sense of it and spits some weird shit mm-hmm. out again. And it's just over and over. So, of course, like, anything about your environment, any sensory input, any information, like, I think it's all going to affect how you sleep and how you dream, because that's such a huge, yeah. like, a huge landscape for your brain to play on with everything yeah. that it has.
Okay, but how about this? So, bunch of stages of sleep, different things, like, affecting your mood. What do you know about lucid dreaming, and like, do you ever lucidly dream?
I think so. I have before. I wish that I could make it happen on purpose, and I keep wanting to try that, but then I keep just like, again, having no routine or follow through and being like, oh, I fell asleep on the couch again and now it's 4. I guess I'm not gonna do like a lucid dream activity. Although from what I've read, that's actually the perfect moment to do a lucid dream activity. Is when
you wake up in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Huh. How does that work?
So you wake up in the middle of the night, and because you've already been asleep, like, your body's more relaxed. Don't get up and like do a whole bunch of shit, but just like sit up maybe a little bit or something. Or if you have to get up and pee, you can, but like, you don't have to get out of bed. And you just lay back down and close your eyes and try to. This sounds so dumb because it is just like a mental effort. You just try to think about yeah. remaining like inside your mind. So what a lot of people describe is that when they start to have those thoughts that don't make sense, like in that like stage one of sleep where...
Sleepover chatter, as I've dubbed it.
Yeah, sleepover chatter kind of thoughts start to roll in. You have to recognize that and say, okay, I'm staying relaxed, but like, I can feel that this is happening. Mm. And then a lot of people describe on more like mystical websites being able to explore the landscape of their mind.
I love it when you use that voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that sounds like bullshit to me, but who am I to judge? I'll try it. But it's just about mindfulness in the moment of returning to sleep. Mm. And I've wondered how restful lucid dreaming would actually be.
I would think not very,
but I have nothing but my own feelings to back that up.
Fair enough.
But I have lucid dreamed before. I like stumbled into it, and I just had this moment of like mutual exclusion in my dream where basically I realized that I was my current age.
Okay.
So like, I'm an adult, and there's plenty of other stuff that was weird about the dream. But I remember in the dream standing in my grandparents' garage, and I was talking to my mom in the dream, and all of a sudden I looked at her and I was like, oh, I'm dreaming. And she was like, well, how do you know? And I was like, I know I'm dreaming because I would never be this age in this house. Mm. And it would never be at the same time that you're that age. Because she like still looked how she looked when we were at that house.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was a weird moment of like, oh, I'm not even really talking to you. Like, you're just a part of this dream.
Yeah. Like a, it was
and
just
it wasn't like,
a tell.
Unsettling. Yeah, it was a weird tell. And I think that's like the only time that's ever happened.
They say, I guess, that the majority of your dreams are actually just like really effing normal shit. Like your regular commute or you getting the mail or...
Like in real time?
Yeah. Well, just like that you dream exactly like if you ironed a shirt earlier, you may dream just about ironing that shirt. Like a lot of your dreams are just normal.
Oh, okay. When I like fall asleep, I get stuck in almost like little loop dreams. And it's not like a full dream and I'm not all the way asleep, but it's like I'll be thinking about like a physical task over and over again. Like, say, ironing that shirt, for example.
Sure.
Maybe I would be thinking or, like, dreaming about ironing the collar of the shirt.
Yeah.
But then when I went to, like, turn and rotate it, maybe the other side was, like, folded incorrectly from what I had done before. And I would just be doing that over and over, back and forth. There's, like, a weird loop functionality. But that's funny that, like, all night we're just, like, catching the bus.
Yeah.
Going
I
to
mean,
the grocery store.
That's most of it.
Taking out the garbage.
Which makes me wonder, you know, I'm like, do your dreams just seem crazy because you remember the crazy ones? I don't know.
I feel like no, because so many, okay, maybe you are doing regular stuff in your dream, but who's to say that like maybe in the living room that you're standing in, the whole floor might be made of checkers. Like there might be other mashup qualities, even if like what you're doing isn't crazy.
Maybe. So here's a question for you then.
Yeah.
Would you rather remember every dream that you had, but like with that, you're going to have like frequent, like debilitating nightmares? Like you're going to have like really terrible dreams, but you're going to remember all of it?
Whew.
Or just like never remember your dreams?
I think just never.
Wow, really? I think I'd choose the opposite.
Well, how often do I have to have nightmares?
Biweekly. A month seems too infrequent. Every week seems like a little overzealous. Biweekly. Like every 2 weeks you're gonna have a fucking terrible dream.
Yeah. Nah, I just don't want. Nah.
I don't know, dude.
Because I have a lot of nightmares now, and I think I would choose to just not dream if I could.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and across the board, adults don't have nightmares very often.
Yeah. I feel like what I've understood is that if you're somebody who has like anxiety or like you run high stress, that kind of thing, you might be somebody who has like frequent nightmares, but like in adulthood, it's kind of like all or nothing. Like you either have a bunch of nightmares or you never really do.
Yes. Yes. Which kind of sucks for those of us that have a lot of nightmares.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You're also, though, more prone to lucidly dream.
Okay, I really should get on that.
You're like, I really got to try this. Report back.
I know, I just keep forgetting. I'll get back to you. I will report back. I keep saying that, but I really will. I have a marry, fuck, kill for you if you want one.
Yeah, I do, and I have one for you.
Okay, sweet. Can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, tonight you're going to marry, fuck, or kill... a sexsomniac. So this is a person
who like fucks things while they sleep.
This is a person who has a sleep disorder. These are all sleep disorders. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, got it. This is good.
Didn't needed to say that up top.
No,
sleep
I
disorder,
like it.
Marry, fuck, kill.
Okay.
First person has sexsomnia. So they cannot help it, but while they are asleep, they are like hypersexual.
There's an episode of Law and Order SVU about
there
this.
There is
just
an
saying.
Episode of SVU about this. I knew you were going to say that.
I always comes it. Back to Olivia Benson for me, always.
Yep. But just, you know, in a domestic situation, it could be exciting or terrifying. Who knows?
Sure.
Okay, so that's the sexsomniac or a hypersomniac who sleeps 23 hours per day.
Oh my God.
Or... someone who truly, truly believes that they are astral projecting every single time they go to sleep.
Wait, tell me more about this person.
That's all. Every time they go to sleep, they're somewhere else doing stuff, being active. Oh. They think they are.
I was going to kill the 23 hours of sleeper until I learned about The third choice. I'm going to be honest. I think I'm going to kill the astro projector.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could roll with that.
No, it's really stupid.
And then these other two, like, I almost want to say, like, initially I was like, oh, well, you fuck the sexomniac, because, like, that's what they're good at. But I actually think I'd marry the sexomniac, and I would fuck just once the 23-hour schnooze. Yeah, and if the sexomniac, like, if they're, like, my chosen partner, like, somebody I want to be with, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
You could get through it.
It might be great. It might be really hot.
It might be great, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I stand by my choices.
I think I would choose the same thing all the way.
I love it when we do that. I, like, almost don't because it's, like, less to say, but it's funny because I don't feel like we do
a lot. Almost never do we do the same thing. Okay, what are yours?
Okay, so a little bit of a different ballgame with mm-hmm. this, but, like, on the Mary fuck killing spree. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. For the rest of your life, you're going to have dreams where you are always either getting married, fucking,
okay,
or killing.
Whew.
And it's a different person, like, all the time. It's not, you're not, like, having, like, a reoccurring dream of, like, always marrying this one person or always fucking this one person. You're, like, constant rotation. I want to say, like, never the same person twice. But, like, your only dreams are going to be about getting wed, fucking, or killing. What do you want to dream about?
So I'm going to say goodbye to the killing dreams. Just get that off the table. No mm-hmm. desire to have kill dreams. I would fuck the marrying dream. You know, I'll have one night of marrying dreams. And then I'll take fuck dreams all the time.
Dude, we're all, like, same siding on this, like, really hard. I would definitely take the fuck dreams.
All the time. Take them.
10 out of 10. Fuck dreams for the win.
We were so into this week, all the responses from the Everybody Counts portion of last week's episode.
so into all of the responses. So very into
It was great, and you guys had great information. Apparently, the program has been updated. It does still happen in the Cincinnati area.
It's still going on.
Yep. No sign of stopping. But now, instead of wearing mittens while you button a sweater, you have to button it with your non-dominant hand with your forefinger and your thumb taped together. So that's fairly challenging. Props to whoever had that idea.
You cannot make that shit up.
Yeah, it's great. There's also a song that I don't remember, so if anyone knows the song, hit me with that.
I don't remember the song. I want to hear it.
No, we didn't do it. Other schools did it, I guess.
We weren't very musical. Well, listen. No. We loved all the feelings on Everybody Counts, so on that note, if you have feelings about dreams or the night terrors that you are now having after Jamie convinced you that you need to check your oven at night for intruders...
Read about Pee-wee Gaskins. He is a murderer who could absolutely fit inside your oven. And then you'll check your oven.
Listen, I'm scared and I don't like it. It makes me feel some kind of way on the inside. And if you're also feeling some kind of way, get at us on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod or via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com.